Certainly all glory goes unto Christ. Where would we be without Christ, without his mercy, without his grace extended unto us? Every day is better than we deserve. And it's really just a bonus, as someone once said, because the true blessings are in our salvation. And so what a privilege it is to be able to worship the Lord today. And we continue to worship him as we move into the time of preaching. And so I hope and I pray that you've come with expectant hearts. You know, you can receive something from any message. Do you believe that this morning? Any message, from the best to the worst that pastors ever preached, whatever that might be. But any message, if you come with an expectant heart, a heart that says, Lord, teach me. Lord, grow me. And he will. He will. So as Brother Vladimir comes, and you want to just jump right in that before you preach. And so Brother Vladimir will come and preach here in just a little bit. We do have a video that we're going to share. We decided to share that within the morning service. That way more folks could take advantage of being able to see their ministry. So we'll show that, and then we'll go right into the message.
So we were praying for God to bring leaders to help love and serve and shepherd and care for the Slavic people that are here in Estonia.
We were unable to return to Siberia after the war in Ukraine started. At the time, we were in the U.S. with our son, and we were helping him get settled because he had just left home. And so we began to pray, God, where would you want us? Because we just knew that God's calling was still on our lives to serve as missionaries, and he led us to Estonia.
We have three major areas. The first one is church planting. That's our heartbeat, and that's our passion. We are focusing on bilingual ministry, where even worship songs and preaching is done in both languages. Learning Estonian, however hard it may be, is very important.
We have already seen, and we believe, that the Estonian church reaching out and caring more for this minority group here in Estonia.
The second biggest focus is supporting and strengthening our existing pastors, because we saw that they're burdened and overwhelmed.
There are pastors among the Russian-speaking churches that are tired, that are looking for community, that we will be able to offer an opportunity to love and pray for each other.
And then our third area is developing leaders from our youth, and we want to be a blessing, come alongside the families and help them teach children, first of all, to know God and to love him, but also be a community of support to them.
Support is really important, especially for our refugee families who may have went through some trauma before they came here. In Ukraine, they still have friends there, family there, and you know, there's that constant worry if they're going to be okay.
There's so many young people that first language is either Russian or Ukrainian that are looking for a community to be able to be accepted, and there's no better place than to be in a community of those that are Christ followers.
We have this little girl in our church. She is about six, and one time she asked her dad, Dad, you know how some of the other kids' dads, they come to church with their kids, but you never come. He started to bring his wife and his daughter to church, and stay a little bit for the services. And then one day we were preparing for evangelistic Christmas play, and we needed a soldier that would just stand there. And we asked this father, hey, would you fill that role? And he agreed, even though he was very shy, and then started coming to the services more faithfully. And then a couple months later, he accepted Christ as his Savior. When fathers get saved and lead their families in a godly way, it's just an amazing testimony and an amazing opportunity. We want more stories like that all across Estonia.
To summarize, our three major areas of focus are church planting, supporting and strengthening existing pastors, and developing a new generation of leaders. Three simple dreams, but one eternal purpose. Picture this: a handful of souls were gathering together for worship. That was Golgotha Baptist Church in Tartu before Debbie and I arrived to the field in December of 2023. But God had other plans. He took the few and made them many. Today, over 50 hearts beat with a new purpose every Sunday. On special days, 70 souls filled the space where hope was reborn. Baptismal waters have welcomed the newly saved. Families have found their spiritual home. The handful became a harvest. God took silence and filled it with teaching. In the last 2 years, we opened Sunday school classes, which now echo with children's laughter and discovery. Teenagers wrestle with truth in ways that matter. College students find their calling. Men are learning to open God's word and preach his heart. Women gather to encourage and strengthen one another. God took isolation and created community. Pastors who once served alone now gather annually, sharing burdens and finding strength. Youth leaders discover they're not forgotten. They're being equipped, encouraged, and sent back out with a renewed vision. But this is just the beginning of the story God is writing. And this is where your partnership changes everything. We need to raise additional monthly support because Estonia has quickly become one of the top three most expensive countries in Europe. On top of that, four cities are calling. Maardu and Rakvere wait for churches to be planted. In Estonia's capital, a young church planter named Artur needs your partnership as his congregation grows. In Kiviili, children and teens crave Sunday school space that doesn't yet exist. Strategically, one crucial gap remains. Right now, there is no place in Estonia where Russian-speaking believers can be trained for ministry in their own language. Imagine the potential locked away. Young hearts with pastoral or church planting calling, but no pathway to preparation. Will you help us write the next chapter? If you want to stay in touch with us and learn about what God is doing through our ministry and how you can pray for us more specifically, please subscribe to our prayer updates at www.lukianos.com/updates. And also, please join our Facebook group, Light to Estonia, where we share pictures and videos of our ministry. We believe that we're better together. So would you consider partnering with us, not just financially, but also in prayer, and even serving alongside of us with your God-given gifts and abilities for His glory in Estonia? We're going to do all we can, but we need your help.
Amen. In church, I just wanted to commend you. You've actually been supporting us since 2003, so that's 22 years of partnership, and all of the souls that were saved in Russia and now in Estonia, that is fruit to your account. And so we're grateful to the Lord for Him working in the lives of so many people across different countries and continents, but also for partnering with this church. And you've been a wonderful blessing to us. Just wanted to make one more comment about our ministry. We're now in a position to actually invite and invest in interns. And that can look differently. It could be a high school or college graduate that is just trying to figure out, hey, what's the next chapter for my life? You can come for as little as 2 weeks to like 3 months to even longer term and use your God-given gifts in a cross-cultural setting, and we would invest into you and just help you to grow just according to what God has for your life, and just it's very individual based and everything like that. But we had an opportunity to host interns last couple summers, and now it doesn't have to be summer. It can be any season, but summer has a lot of activities. We have camps, we have different seminars and different things that we do. So that is a good time to come. But you know, college age or right after high school is not the only not the only change, because a lot of times, like if you're fresh out of high school, you would probably go to college. It can be done in the field as well, but really, it's years before you maybe come to Estonia full time, or maybe another country or something like that. But a lot of times, if you're an adult, maybe you're even like 50 years old, or the age doesn't matter. But a lot of times, as an adult, you have a wealth of experience and Christian maturity under your belt, if you will. And so so many people come to serve on the mission field being an adult, like well in adulthood. And so we're open to all ages, and maybe you're retired and you just want to spend a few weeks or months to serve the Lord, or just get more acquainted with mission work is like, come. We want to welcome you. We want to, again, invest in you just to help you to do what God has called you to do. So that's our invitation. And if you want more information, we can talk after the service, or we can communicate over email or Zoom. Praise the Lord for technology. Now we can be face-to-face, you know, continents apart. And so that's very, very exciting. But here's a question that's been really bothering me or challenging me for a long, long time, is how do we fulfill the Great Commission? Because it's not a suggestion. When Jesus told us to reach the world, it's not a suggestion. One of the things that challenged me lately is a passage in John chapter 4. We're not going to be there today, but do you remember what happened in John 4? Yes, so Jesus meets a Samaritan woman, and remember, he has a conversation with her, and then the disciples come, the woman goes back to town, right? And then Jesus has a conversation with the disciples. Disciples says, Jesus, we brought food. They just went to town. They brought food. Jesus says, no, I have meat to eat. And the disciples are like, who brought him to eat? When we left, there wasn't any food. And now he says that he has food to eat. And then Jesus gives a statement. Do you remember what it was? Before that, he says, my bread, my food, is to do the will of the Father, and for so many years I skipped that phrase, and to finish his work. And of course we know that Christ's mission was to come and to die for us on the cross. Jesus is concerned about finishing the task, if you will, right? And so when he leaves, goes to heaven, he gives the task to his disciples. And let's just look at where we're at. So we're at 8 billion people in this world right now, like rounding it, right? Over 8 billion. And I shared a little bit in Sunday school. The pace of starting churches and reaching people is far below the pace of population growth. So we're losing ground percentage-wise, right? There are more people who don't know Christ, and the gap is increasing. So here's my question again. How in the world do we reach the world for Christ, and how in the world are we going to fulfill the Great Commission? Now, in the world, 8 billion people. In the United States, 345 million souls. 6.25 million in the state of Missouri. How big is Greenfield? 1,200. Okay. So what is the plan to reach 1,200 people here in Greenfield? And that's where we're at today. For many years, and it's a good plan, but for many years it was, hey, let's send some young people, let's send a young man to go to college, and he'll meet a wife there, they'll start a family, and then we'll send them to the mission field, and let's say it's a country like Russia, 140 million people, and let's say there are another 20 missionary couples in the entire country, and you can divide the numbers. The task is overwhelming. How are we doing? Not enough. And I hate kind of thinking in those terms, but there's more to be done. And also, sometimes in churches, our thinking about our responsibility, or we just give money to missions, and that's the extent of the responsibility. But what I want to say, and what the Bible teaches, is God is placing the responsibility to share Christ and reach people on each and every one of us. Age doesn't matter. We have in Russia for Christmas one time, we gave out Bibles, but we gave the action Bible. It's basically like Bible in the comic form. And the kids would bring it to school, and all of their breaks, one kid would bring it, and like he would be surrounded by a crowd of people, and they would be reading the Word of God, looking at the pictures, but soaking up the Word of God. And 9-year-olds can do it. Josiah, I think, in the Bible, a godly king, became a king at 7 years old. Yes, he had wise advisors and wise men around him, but he, at 7 years old, had tremendous influence and tremendous, implemented tremendous changes in the kingdom. And God can use people like Caleb at 80 years old to take a mountain and slay giants. And it's a figure of what anybody can do if they follow the Lord, including sharing Christ and all those things. I will share a little bit more about that as the message goes. But God has given each and every one of us responsibility to reach the world of Christ. And so God has a simple plan, and that plan hasn't changed since the beginning when he gave that plan. And as a matter of fact, when the early church implemented that plan within just the first 30 years, the Bible records that the early Christians turned the world upside down. They basically, they changed culture around them. They changed customs, and people became Christians and became followers of Christ, developed a relationship with God. So what is this plan? And this plan is recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20. So let's open the Gospel of Matthew, the very last chapter, Matthew 28, and verses 18 through 20. And here's what the Bible says, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and that was on the mount in Galilee. He rose from the dead, and before he ascended to heaven, he met with his disciples and he gave them these words. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So this is God's, we call it Great Commission, right? Not the Great Suggestion. Great Commission, great commandment. Like he told his disciples what they're supposed to be doing. And it actually has two imperative verbs. Now, imperative verbs are commands. And so who can tell me what the only two commands here in this passage are? And they're in verses 19 and 20. And go is not one of them. Make disciples, right. So this is the first one. And there's a second one. In verse 20. And it's actually the word lo. In English, we don't use it very much, right? But it's like behold or pay attention be aware. And it's also important, like, hey, I'm with you. Don't forget, I'm with you. All power is given unto me. So this is the strength and the source of power that you have. So what about all the other verbs, like in English, that we have go and baptizing and teaching and all those things? They're in the form that are like secondary, and the best I can describe it for myself at least is they're like backgrounding verbs that mean like as you go, make disciples. Like as you baptize, you're making disciples and teaching. As you instruct, you're also in the process of making disciples. So what is Jesus is saying here is making disciples is the key, task that we should be doing. And basically, it's not about content. It's not like, you know, in Russia we have certain lessons that we make sure to teach to a person before they get baptized and teach them, the basics of Christian doctrine and all those things. But it's not about content. It's not about those 16 or 21 or whatever many lessons. Not going through a book and just finishing the book and you're a disciple. No. Making disciples is making followers of Jesus and basically people who are in love with Jesus and the relationship with Christ. They're growing themselves and who are investing, if you will, spiritually in other people. And we'll touch on that in a second. So making disciples, making followers of Christ, making people conforming to the image of Christ is a lifelong process. It's not like, hey, if I read the Bible through, like, you're a disciple. No, Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, striving ahead, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus, and all of those things, that is what the Church of Christ should be focused on. But it does require going. And again, as you're going, and remember the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And basically, God is giving command to parents, or especially to fathers, and he's saying, listen, fathers, as you sit at the lunch table, or if you're going on a trip and you're walking on the sidewalk or you're working in your wood shop or something like that, train your children. Teach them that the Lord is God and the Lord is one. Remember that? And so it's basically parallel passage to the Great Commission. It's the same focus, training and discipling children and people to be followers of God, followers of Christ. But it does require going, sometimes across the street. Our problem in America, and honestly in Estonia, is that people don't build relationships with their neighbors. I'm ashamed of that. When we lived in Russia, we lived in an apartment complex. We had like four apartments on our floor, and I knew our neighbors by face, but we didn't have a relationship. We didn't go visit one another. We didn't spend any time together. And Estonia is even more closed. I don't know if I shared that last time here, but I was talking to the pastor in Estonia, and I was saying, our plan was to come and live where a bunch of Russian people are, and I would live in an apartment, and they would have benches by the entrance, and I would sit there, and as people would come from work, I would greet them and get to know them and develop a relationship and all those things. He's like, it's a good theory. Let me just tell you what I've experienced. So that Estonian pastor lived in a duplex. So his family lived here, and then there was another Estonian family lived like across the wall, right? And they had a yard and separated by like a chain link fence and stuff like that. So he said only after 5 years they started saying hi to one another when they were in the yard together. Before that, they would just like nod, like, I acknowledge you, but don't talk to me. And so after 5 years, they started just saying hi, and was like another 5 years till they started asking, well, how's your day, and type of thing. Now, America is way better at that, but still, a lot of times, we're so busy, we may say hi to the neighbor, but we don't go much deeper to develop the kind of relationship that allows to share Christ. And what I say in our church, say basically have a systematic plan. You know, get involved in their lives, not in a nosy kind of way, but be aware and be proactive and just ask them, hey, how can I pray for you? They will share if they have any like health struggles or maybe death in the family or this or that, looking for a job. And you can be just present enough to provide like prayer support and just let them know, hey, God answers prayer. And one time in our church, one person on Sunday morning raised hand, is like, I'm looking, or I want to come to services, but I work on Sundays, and then my boss doesn't allow me to come. He works like every other Sunday, and we prayed for him, and then literally Monday he had a conversation with the supervisor, and they rescheduled him for after the church service so he could attend and all those things. And I believe God answered that prayer like immediately in all those things. And but after you develop that kind of presence and relationship with a person, invite them over and share what God has done in your life, basically your testimony, how you came to know Christ. You can also share testimony of a friend, how God has worked in their lives. And then you can share what Christ has done for them on the cross and all those things. But have a systematic plan, but it requires going and knocking on their door and just you know, being involved in all of those things. And sometimes God calls some people to go across the ocean to another country and learn a culture, learn a language. And by the way, please pray for us. We sort of, all the summer, we were involved in camps and then came on furlough. So it's been, I think, about 6 or 9 months since we really spoke Estonian. And please pray that we would learn this language well and be able to speak to people in their heart language. But the Bible says, and we were in this chapter, this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And that's why Jesus says, hey, you are the light of the world. You are this candle that cannot be hid under a bushel. You are the city on the hill providing light to your community. Please shine brightly. Please go and lighten the dark places. And by the way, there are so many areas in this world. Now, it's easy. In the United States, you can turn on TV and flip one of the probably a million channels now. And you'll find Christian channels that broadcast preaching, broadcast Christian music and messages and things like that. You can, on the internet, you can find all kinds of, you know, Bible studies and things like that. But do you realize there are places in this world right now that, again, internet is highly controlled by the government. And if a person wanted to find more about God, who he is, because the Bible says that the Godhead, the reality that God exists is evident through the creation. So if a person is like, I know there's something there. There must be something more to our life than just humanism and all those things. I want to know more about God, but there are places in this world that if a person was curious, they don't have anybody in their contacts and their sphere of influence. They don't have anybody in hundreds of miles from where they live and work that is a believer. And so in order to reach those people, and they're not just in like 1040 window, they're countries that are really dark spiritually. And the only chance those people have of hearing about Christ and developing a relationship with them is for somebody from the outside going and communicating the gospel. So making disciples, making followers of Christ does require going. And just think of this. When you go fishing, do you just get like nice fishing gear, but you sit on the couch and expect fish to come to you? That would be ludicrous, right? No, you go where fish are. It's the same thing with reaching people and making disciples. Or if you take a lifeguard, imagine, and I served as a lifeguard in a Christian youth camp. Imagine you have this nice tower, you sit in it, you're all prepared, you took the training, you're certified, and you sit there and say, well, if anybody gets hurt, you know, come over, like I will rescue. No. You're supposed to watch, and if you see sign perishing, you go there, right? You pay attention. You are vigilant. You are looking around. You're proactive. And that's what we need to do. So it does require baptizing. This is how a person enters into the fellowship of the church. This is the place and the framework for growth, healing, and empowerment. I love your plaques over here. And remember see the common word, together. You cannot be a follower of Christ in the vacuum. God designed us to grow, serve, worship, what? Together. Right. And that's where that baptism piece becomes important. And the third stage of making disciples of all nations is teaching them to observe all things what Christ has commanded, which includes making disciples. So really, how do we know that, you know, discipleship is complete, and how do we know that the person is a disciple if he is actually investing his life into making other followers of Jesus? And until you do, you're not there yet, according to the Word of God. And Apostle John illustrated this way. In his first epistle in chapter 2, he speaks of children, he speaks of young men, he speaks of fathers. And let me just speed up really well. He describes he describes children as those whose sins are forgiven. So they've experienced salvation, but they're like babies in Christ. And remember, babies, they're so dependent on parents to feed them, right? To clothe them, to pick up the right clothes, to clean them. I remember the peas and the baby food that babies get fed and all those things. And then after the meal, you know, that high chair is all covered in peas and in the face and all the clothes, and like you have to clean the baby. But those are children, and they constantly make messes. And like as a young Christian, we make messes. We are learning and we're growing and we're learning how to have a relationship with Christ. But then we grow into maturity, and we expect teenagers to be able to clean themselves. Now, showering regularly is still a challenge in teenage years, but a lot of times they can brush their teeth and they can know how to wash their hands and take a shower and all those things. But John describes young men as strong in the Lord, having overcome the evil one. They probably have some scars left from the battles with Satan and flesh and the world. But the reality is those are no longer children. They're men. They're young men. But then John says they're fathers. And fathers are those who have known him that is from the beginning. So they have a deep, intimate relationship with God. Knowing someone when they know him from the beginning. Knowing refers to somebody that is deeply connected and close personal intimacy and fellowship. And the job of a father is to pour his life into his children. And basically what John is saying is a mature disciple of Christ no longer lives for himself, but lives for others. And Paul mentioned so many times, he's like, I am in the twixt between the two, go to heaven. Oh, it's so nice. You know, I desire it so much to meet the Lord and all those things. But to stay here on this earth and to visit churches and to preach and to pour my life into others is so much more needful for you. So I choose that. Right, so that is the idea of being a father and being a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. And so here are some principles that would help us to fulfill the Great Commission. And the first principle is you must be before you do, and you must do before you have. What do I mean by that? So many times we think, well, if I do this, I become, or I am this. But the reality is being precedes doing. And the best I can illustrate this is so many times we focus our identity, or we identify with doing instead of being. Disciples, Jesus sends his disciples to preach, and they come back, and they're all excited. They're like, Jesus, we preached, and the demons were cast out, and we prayed for people, and they were healed, and all of those things. I mean, just look at what you know, God has done through our lives. And Jesus told them, listen, don't focus on what you do. Don't be glad that the demons were cast out and people repented, but be rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's being a child of God. That's being in a relationship with Christ. And God delights in you as a child of God, no matter what you do. It doesn't mean that we just do whatever. Paul talks completely against that. But what is true is that our doing flows out of our being. If I am in love with my wife, my actions will follow. Now, sometimes people can fake being a disciple without having a relationship with God, but soon it will come out. Soon it will come out. And so to fulfill the Great Commission, you must be, before you do, you must do before you have fruit in all those things. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Luke 14, 33 says, "So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And so, but the reality is, we are children of God, and we make a decision, am I going to follow Jesus with all of my life? And that decision is what establishes being a disciple, and then you grow in maturity and become do what a disciple does. But then you must do to grow. You don't automatically become a super soul winner in the very beginning. Now, our son has had a huge milestone. On Saturday, June the 28th, 2008, he learned to ride his bike. And you know how to ride his bike? How you can learn to ride the bike? It doesn't come from a book. You cannot watch enough YouTube videos to learn how to ride a bike. You just do it by learning. And so in order to grow, you must practice that. If you want to be a great soul winner and just learn how to share your testimony with people, just share your testimony with people. And when I was growing up, we had this phrase that I think trips so many people. And the phrase goes like this: if it's worth doing, it's worth doing it right. I think it's very bad advice, because if something is worth doing, it's worth doing it poorly first, so you learn to do it well. You cannot do something well the first time you do it. And like witnessing and sharing Christ, I remember the first time I tried to, like, I stuttered and just, I was so nervous and all those things, right? And the reality is, you do it the first time, you don't do it perfectly, but you learn from that. But so many people stop and quit after this. But do it the second time. Learn from the first experience. Do it better, and then you'll make some mistakes as well. But just consistently, repeatedly doing it, that's what helps you to do it well. And I encourage you, share your testimony. It's hard to mess that up, because they cannot argue with what God has done in your life. But start sharing what Christ has done in your life, and then share what Christ has done for them on the cross, and you will have fruit. But thirdly, again, you must be a disciple. You must be a child of God. You must do what Christ has commanded and just be obedient to that, and then you must have fruit. We're all branches attached to the vine, which is Christ. And do you think that the glory of the tree is, you know, full branches, strong and well-formed and balanced? Do you think that's the purpose of the tree, to have pretty branches? No. The purpose of a tree is to produce fruit, and we glorify God by our fruit, the Bible says. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard the game, are you smarter than a fifth grader? maybe on TV. It was popular years and years ago. Well, let's play a game. Are you smarter than the first grader? What does apple tree produce? No. Apple tree produces other apple trees because everything in creation produces after its kind. Now, fruit is just, apples in that case is the intermediary. And somebody even said, you can count how many apples are on the tree, but you cannot count how many apple trees are in that apple. Yeah, you can count the seeds, but imagine the first year seeds, were planted, and they grew apple trees, and they produced thousands of apples in their lifetime. And those thousands of apples, let's say they have 10,000 of other seeds, and through several generations, like, you cannot count how many apple trees are within that apple, right? And the same thing is, our job as a Christian is to produce other followers of Christ. And if we're faithful, and let's say we just produce one this year, and they produce one, and then you produce another one, the following year, and they start producing, over several generations, you cannot count how many people will be in a relationship with God because of your faithfulness. Again, if the new believers in Christ, they're fully disciples of Christ, meaning that they reproduce and they make their disciples. And this is what I encourage you to do. To fulfill the Great Commission, we need to train others to be disciples of Christ, just like you are, and just like pastor is, and just like missionaries are. So nothing great is done by accident. Just be intentional. Develop a plan, and the best one is to just adopt the plan that God has given us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, disciple them, or baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, behold, pay attention, don't forget, I am with you always. I have all the power. God is with you to help you fulfill what he has commanded you to do. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I just pray that you would challenge each and every one of us to be diligent in fulfilling the Great Commission, meaning that I have a responsibility to invest my life into making a disciple, a follower of Jesus, who makes disciples of Jesus on his own or her own. Lord, give us wisdom, give us power, encourage us, and just be with us so we can accomplish what you have asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Eko.